التائبون العابدون الحامدون السائحون
A bit of a recitation of the Quran, the holy book of Islam, at an Egyptian mosque. A familiar sound to the millions, the hundreds of millions of Muslims around the world, but to the Christian ears, to the ears of the West, it sounds very different. If you were to open up the Quran and read it for yourself, it's not very long, it's shorter than the New Testament. What would you find? Would you be surprised to learn that you could find a mention of Jesus in the Quran? Not just one, but several. But would you find the real Jesus in the Quran? We're going to be talking about the Jesus of the Quran here in the first half hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Joe Goodell will join us. He's author of a new tract called Jesus and the Quran. In the second half hour of the program, Pastor Bill Swirla joins us. We'll talk about church bureaucracies. He's pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. Then in the second hour of the program, MZ Hemingway will join us. She has a regular contribution at getreligion.org, which is a blog site that allows people to evaluate the coverage of religion in the popular press. We'll talk about media coverage of religion. And then in the last half hour of the program, Black Liberation Theology. People are talking about it because, of course, Barack Obama's former pastor, Jeremiah Wright, is a big advocate of Black Liberation Theology. Some people are learning about this for the first time. It's been around for a long time. Dr. H. Wayne House of Faith Seminary in Tacoma, Washington, will be our guest in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. to talk about Black Liberation Theology. Now, you can join us. We're coming to you live this Friday. It's the 11th of July. Our toll-free number, 877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Now, everyone who calls in or sends us a question or a comment in the next half hour as we talk about Jesus and the Quran will get a copy of this new tract, Jesus and the Quran, by Joe Goodell, our guest in the first half hour. Dr. Joe Goodell is a regular guest. He's director of Christian Ministries at Concordia Lutheran High School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, contributing writer to the Christian Research Journal. Joe, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Great to be with you on Issues, Etc. again.
I got a copy of the Quran right behind me on one of my bookshelves. I can open it up, and I can find Jesus in there, but will the reader of the Quran find the real Jesus?
Now, that's a great question. Actually, the Apostle Paul addressed that question in 2 Corinthians 11, when he wrote to the Christians there that he was afraid that people would come preaching another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. And that's what we find with Islam and basically every other religion out there. They say many nice things about Jesus, but ultimately deny who he is, true God and true man, and what he did, died on the cross and rose from the dead for our sins. And the Quran is no different. The Quran speaks a lot about Jesus, more about Jesus than Muhammad, and says many great things about him, but ultimately denies who he is and what he did.
Okay, so walk us through some of these references to a Jesus or to Jesus in the Quran. Where does it begin? How is Jesus described, and what role does he play?
Well, Jesus' name in the Quran is Isa, I-S-A, and as I said, he's referred to more than any other person in the Quran. There are 15 chapters that refer to him, and the Quran says things like, talks about Jesus healing the sick and raising the dead in chapter 3, verses 49 and following. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He brought the gospel to the Jewish people. It refers to Jesus as an apostle of God and even as the Word of God. And it refers to him as the Messiah. However, again, the one thing it does not say or believe or teach is that Jesus was God. It denies that. And it also even denies that Jesus died on the cross, which ultimately means he didn't rise from the dead. The twin cornerstones of the Christian faith, who Jesus is and what he did.
So it appears that the author of the Quran, whoever it may be, is at least aware in some way of some of the Christian claims regarding Jesus Christ.
Oh, sure. Muhammad probably was very conversant with Christianity, albeit perhaps in twisted forms as he traveled before he began his ministry as a prophet. And so there are many things in the Quran that are taken from the Old Testament and the New Testament. A number of those things are accurate. Many of the things that the Quran says contradict the stories from the Old and New Testaments also, and we certainly see that with Jesus.
Let's go through some of these one by one. I know Christians are often surprised to hear that when the Quran talks about Jesus, it acknowledges the fact that he is born of the Virgin Mary. And
yes,
that seems kind of odd considering the other things denied about Jesus Christ. How do we sort that out?
Well, again, Muslims have a great, great respect for Jesus because the Quran does. And probably the best way that Christians can witness to Muslims is to point them to Jesus, but to the true Jesus, which is really what this tract was all about, using what they already believe from the Quran. The Quran speaks positively of Jesus. The Quran speaks about the prior revelations that were sent before Muhammad. And it asks them to, if they've ever read these prior revelations about Jesus and then what Jesus, the prophet, and they believe he was a great prophet, what Jesus said about himself.
I guess that raises the question, how does a Muslim or how are Muslims taught to regard the Christian New Testament?
Well, that's very interesting because in the Quran, there is nothing negative at all about the Christian scriptures. Just the opposite. The Quran speaks very positively about the Old Testament and the New Testament. It refers to these as scriptures sent by God, that God would confirm them, that God would protect them. The problem they had was after Muhammad's death in 632, as they began reading the Christian scriptures, they realized it contradicted everything that they believed. And so what they believe today, it's a doctrine called Tarif, which means that the Christian scriptures have become corrupted. The problem for Muslim theologians, though, is that the Quran not only does not say this, it denies that this can happen. And so that's what I did in this tract. This tract is published by Good News Publishers, and basically it takes them from, invites them to look at what the Quran says about the Christian scriptures, and then having talked about that, points them to what Jesus said about himself in the gospel.
So really the tack here is to say, look, Muslim, you take this person, Jesus, seriously in your own scriptures. You regard him as a prophet, perhaps second only to Muhammad. Take
yes.
seriously what Jesus himself says in his own testimony. Is that basically the strategy here?
Exactly. We're all called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ as Christians. And I've written and lectured and taught in the area of comparative religions for probably 30-plus years. I wrote this tract as an easy way for Christians to witness to Muslims. Islam is the second largest religion in the world today, the second largest religion in the United States. Many people believe it's the fastest growing religion in the world today as well, and it's not going to go away. That being the case, how can we share our faith with Muslims? Do we need to know everything about Islam? Well, not really. This tract was written to give to Muslims. It's from a Muslim perspective or worldview. And basically, a Christian could basically take the tract, read it, and give it to his Muslim friend or neighbor or coworker and ask them, say something to the effect, I just read this tract. Is this really true? Is this really correct what the Quran says? And kind of pique their curiosity. And I think that if a Muslim would actually read through this, he would go back to the references in their scriptures, the Quran, and then hopefully go to the New Testament and see what Jesus said about himself. And ultimately, that's what we want to do, point them to Christ, who he is and what he did.
Are you concerned at all, Dr. Goodell, that in this technique, if you will, of presenting the gospel to Muslims, using this opening of Jesus being mentioned in the Quran, that in some sense we would lend credence to other things that the Quran would deny explicitly about Jesus Christ?
Well, again, the Quran does deny many things that we believe. Hopefully what we can do is point them to Christ, and if we can actually get God's word in their hands, I believe God's word is powerful, and the Holy Spirit works through that. If they can read that for themselves, I really believe that God will touch the hearts of many, many people, and they'll have a chance to see for themselves what Jesus said about himself, not what the Quran or other people have said about him.
What do our listeners need to know about the Muslim culture and about its religious practices, especially with regard to something like reading the New Testament, so that they're fully informed as to how Muslims think about the possibility of delving into other sacred texts?
Okay. Well, there are many areas of common ground that we as Christians have with Muslims, and the belief that God has sent scriptures is one of them. Unfortunately, there are many areas that we disagree as well. But Muslims in the Western world basically have the freedom, the liberty to do this. In most Muslim countries that are governed by Sharia law, they are not allowed to read the Bible or the New Testament. And thus, that's something that's a great way for us to witness is because here in the West, they can. If we can use this as a point of departure or as a point of common ground, it's very hard to witness to people if we don't understand not just what they believe, but what are the critical differences. And that would always be, again, who is Jesus, who is God, how are we saved? But also, what areas of common ground do we have? The Muslims have many areas of common ground. They believe in one God as we do. They believe that God had sent scriptures. They believe in angels. They believe in many prophets and that Jesus himself was a prophet. And they believe in the afterlife. And so there are many areas of common ground that we have, probably the greatest being respect for Jesus.
When we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Joe Goodell, Director of Christian Ministries at Concordia Lutheran High School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, contributing writer to Christian Research Journal and author of a new tract, Jesus and the Quran. We're giving away this new tract to everyone who calls in or emails us with a question or a comment during this half hour. 877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback at issuesetc.org. When we come back from this break, more with Joe Goodell, then Pastor Bill Swirla will join us to talk about church bureaucracies. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
Sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring Issues Etc. back. Linnea Sands, Nicole Boyle, Trevor Wendt, Pastor Douglas Thompson, John Kohlmeyer, Pastor Dean Schrader, R. Scott Clark, Tenna Schrader, Derek White, and Pastor Joseph Wetherill. Thanks for your support.
Defending the Faith, Teaching the Truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
MYIE, or email us, talkback at issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Joe Goodell is our guest. We're talking about the Jesus of the Quran. So, Dr. Goodell, pretend that I'm a Muslim. And if you would, in the most basic way, present to me the best presentation of Jesus from Holy Scripture as the real Jesus, the true saving Jesus.
Maybe one way to do that would simply be to ask the question that Jesus himself asked. I mean, the greatest question If Jesus is truly who he claimed to be, as we believe as Christians, the greatest question in history is what Jesus asked in Matthew 16, where he asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And there were many answers that the apostles gave. Some say that you're a prophet, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. But then Jesus made it very, very personal. But who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus Christ? No person who has ever lived from the beginning of time until today has had more impact on the history of the world. The entire history of the world is divided in half by his birth. Jesus claimed to be more than just a man. Jesus claimed to be God in human flesh. That's why the religious authorities hated him and feared him. He claimed to be God in human flesh who came to die for the sins of the world. And, that's what Paul writes about in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you believe, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, who he is, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he died and rose again, you will be saved. And I would just ask the Muslim to consider the words of Jesus. Again, they have great respect for him. They believe he was a prophet, and the Quran tells them that these scriptures were sent by God. And so they really should believe what these scriptures say.
To delve into the Old Testament regarding Jesus Christ, is that helpful? Does the Muslim have a similar respect for the Old Testament scriptures?
The Quran refers to parts of the Old Testament. It refers to the Torah and the Psalms as revelations from God. Some people will say that that refers to all the Old Testament. Others might say that it refers to just those specific parts. I would witness from the New Testament, because that's much more specific. The Quran refers to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Muslims might sometimes respond, Muslim theologians, well, the New Testament doesn't have the gospel because there are four gospels. Well, actually, that's not accurate. There is one gospel or good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel according to St. Matthew, the gospel according to St. Mark, etc. And I would invite them to read this gospel that refers to Isa that the Quran speaks of.
One of the things that the Muslim's going to find if he takes in hand those four narratives, the four gospels of Jesus Christ, is it's really a story about Jesus himself. And it will be, it strikes me, somewhat unfamiliar to them if they're only familiar with their own holy book, the Quran, which is not narrative per se. It's more kind of prophetic revelation, or at least purports to be prophetic revelation. They're going to be reading about the man himself, aren't they?
Yes. Yes. And again, God's word does not return void. God speaks through his word more than any other way. And so when they read this narrative of Jesus, the life of Jesus, many, many former Muslims who became Christians, became believers in Jesus, did so after reading the Gospels. You're right, the Quran is very different than the Bible, than the New Testament, especially the Gospels. It's more legalistic. It's more about the history of what happened at that time and how they should live their lives, etc. It's not a reference guide to who Muhammad was or anything like that. The New Testament, especially the Gospels, it's all about Jesus, who he is and what he did.
Even in Western countries, you had mentioned before the break that in Western countries, Muslims have the political freedom to take up the New Testament, read them if they want to. And yet there's also, I guess you could call it social pressure from within the Muslim community not to do so, family pressure.
Yes.
Bring us up to date with our listeners regarding what the Muslim faces if he really is seriously considering the claims of historic Christianity. What does he face from his family and others, and why should we be sensitive to that?
That's a great question, Todd, simply because when Jesus said, count the cost, here in the West, we really have never been, most Christians, have never been persecuted for the faith. Maybe somebody doesn't want to be our friend, or they might laugh at us. But for Muslims, it's very serious. Muslims will actually be ostracized from their family, from their friends, from their culture, and even kicked out of their families if they become believers in Jesus. Especially in countries where Islam is more dominant, this is very, very true. Sometimes if a Muslim becomes a believer, they might even be killed by their family members. It's called honor killing, and there are many reports of that in other countries and here in America. I know a friend who teaches at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis who had to leave his family in Gambia when he became a believer at the age of 16 and didn't see his family for 15 years. Because he had become a believer.
It seems so foreign to us in many ways as we encounter the Muslim culture and the religion, even here in the United States where it tends to be more westernized. It seems so foreign to us culturally and religiously that would at least seem to represent an obstacle for Christians. They say, look, there's going to be a lot easier people to witness to than a Muslim. What would you say to that?
That's, again, one of the reasons why I wrote this tract is something that can familiarize Christians with this issue, but also something that they can simply give to a Muslim. I would encourage all of your listeners to either get on the website and contact Good News Publishers or go to their Christian bookstores most Christian bookstores sell Good News Publishers tracts and try to get these. The vast majority of Muslims are not gun-toting terrorists waiting to blow Americans up and things like that. Most Muslims are people just like us. They have hopes and fears. They have goals in life. They have families and friends that they love. And they desperately need to know who Jesus Christ is and the true path to salvation. And again, there are many ways we can do this. Hopefully this tract is one way that can effectively reach them.
It seems as though the technique that you're calling for really is very similar to that which Jesus employed with the Jews of his day, with his own opponents, where he pointed them simply back to the Old Testament in this case, saying,
yeah,
listen to the prophets, what they said, and if you listen to what they said and wrote, you will find me there. I am the one they were testifying to.
Yeah, that's exactly what Jesus did. He said, you believe in Moses, believe also in me, because Moses wrote about me. When Moses was talking about in Deuteronomy 18 and elsewhere about this prophet that would come, he was pointing to Jesus Christ. And again, that's what we're doing, is pointing them to what the scriptures that the Quran tells them to believe in says about Jesus Christ.
Islam is the fastest growing world religion. There's no doubt about it. So we can be fairly sure that barring any unforeseen circumstances, there will be more Muslims in our midst in the future than less. So can Christians hope to avoid the encounter at work elsewhere with a Muslim and the conversation that must ensue?
Yeah, probably not. This is something that is all around us at work, in our schools. So certainly when students go to the universities today, they are going to be meeting people of many different faith backgrounds, especially Muslims. We shouldn't be afraid of speaking with people like that. We should befriend them, love them, and witness to them as we have opportunity to do so. But this is something that is going to be around us. It's no longer like Kipling once wrote, East is East and West is West, and never the twain shall meet. We are living in a multicultural, multi-faith society. And that shouldn't be something that scares us, but instead it gives us great opportunities to share the gospel. We may not be able to, everyone listening, Christians listening, be able to go to foreign countries and become missionaries, but that's okay. Many people from those countries are coming over here and living here, and we can witness to them right here where we live.
With only about 30 seconds, a response to this email from Mark in Springdale, Arkansas. He says, I was on a panel discussion with a conservative rabbi who said the Muslim religion is not a religion of peace. It's pretty obvious. Of course, many disagree with that and say that properly speaking, it is a religion of peace. It's rather misused by terrorists, etc. What would your speaker's position be on that? Would he see the religion as one of peace? And of course, he says, I don't mean that in a theological sense. Obviously, there is no peace without Christ. Your response, about 30 seconds.
Islam really is a religion that's at war with itself about what Islam is. There are hundreds of millions. There are about 1.2, 1.25 billion Muslims in the world. There are hundreds of millions of Muslims who are very peaceful, are not violent at all. And yet, within the Quran, within their history, within the traditions of Muhammad, there are certainly seeds and admonitions for violence as well. And there are millions and millions of Muslims who take those verses literally. And so it depends on how the Muslim interprets those verses. Compare that with Jesus, who told us to turn the cheek, to love our neighbors. They will know we are Christians by our love. With Islam, the seeds for violence are found in their history and in their scriptures, and it depends on how the individual Muslim interprets that.
Dr. Joe Goodell is Director of Christian Ministries at Concordia Lutheran High School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, contributing writer to the Christian Research Journal, and author of the new tract, Jesus and the Quran. You can order this new tract by calling 1-800-543-1659 or at crossway.com, crossway.com. Dr. Goodell, thank you for being our guest.
Well, glad to be with you, and the Lord's blessings, Todd, and all that you're doing.
Thank you. When we come back, Pastor Bill Swirlo will join us. You know, every human enterprise, insofar as it is a human enterprise, involves some kind of organization, eventually institution. Jeff and I have been throwing together a radio program for the last couple of months, and what we've discovered is it gets institutionalized. There's structure. There is a routine. There is order. There is regulation. Same with the church. When we come back, churches and bureaucracies seem to go together like peanut butter and jelly. Is it a good thing? Is bureaucracy necessarily a bad thing? We'll answer that question after this break with Pastor Bill Swirla. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Contending for the truth in an age of anti-truth, you're listening to Issues Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.